It's Paul Hamilton.
The way they played last night, they definitely would have come out on the top side. But, Tampa Bay was... They were eager, they were hungry, and they wanted to make sure that they... That was Paul. They just put out the buffet.
On WGR.
Go ahead, Paul. You can go get a plate.
Oh, okay. Oh, my.
So, yeah, I thought they were great.
Sports Radio 550.
I almost passed out during that segment. I was laughing so hard at Rob. Plus, the noise behind him was so ridiculous the whole time. But that, I got dizzy sitting over here. Like, I was crying from laughing, and I thought, I feel like I'm gonna fall out of my chair.
That is funny to me, because Rob was very quick-witted. But I just am always, like, sort of protective of Paul. I don't like it either. I can't just laugh, because I feel like, you know, they're friends, and this is guys. But, like, maybe Rob deserves a shot like that. And I'm not the one to send it his way either, because, like, I'm not in perfect shape anymore. Right. Anymore.
Who among us is?
Right, Paul?
Well, I send him his way sometimes, but he'll have another one for you tomorrow, I'm sure.
Uh-oh.
Okay, well, we look forward to that.
Already?
Teeing it up already, Paul.
When did you get there? Already?
Oh, yeah. As soon as we landed, I set him up for one.
Okay. We just heard in sports, Jack Eichel is back. And, boy, the Sabres got through that. Three games, two wins. How many goals was it, Bulldog?
Ten goals.
Five in one period?
Nine of them in two games, yeah.
So, what a relief.
Yeah. Well, let me be just a 1% cautious. Housley did not say he was back. Eichel said he's back to 100%.
Right.
But in typical Phil Housley coaching fashion, it's, well, no, I'm not saying he's definitely playing, and, you know. So we can't say that today. We have to wait until he's a game-time decision, and then we'll know when he hits warm-ups.
Okay, I appreciate that, Paul. When he plays tomorrow, do you think he'll be between Skinner and Thompson like he was at practice today? This is an idea that came up on yesterday's show, sort of based on what they were able to do by separating Reinhardt and Skinner in the game on Tuesday against New Jersey. Like, okay, let's try some different things here and see if we can't find a way to spread the scoring out a little bit. What do you think of this idea of Thompson playing with Skinner and Eichel?
Yeah, I like it. The only thing that I wonder about is Thompson likes to carry the puck. So there's only one puck out there. So will they be able to coexist when they both like to carry the puck? And maybe it'll work just fine. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing that hits my mind is, you know, as Thompson's been more successful as he's been playing recently, he's been carrying the puck a lot and, you know, moving into the zone and making moves on defensemen. And you know, they both like to shoot the puck. So, you know, having two of them like that on the same line, we'll see how it works out. It might work out just fine, but that would be the only thing I would think of.
What do you have to say on Thompson as a prospect? Like, I realize today I haven't thought about him too many times here. When I think of the guys that they're building with, I don't think of Thompson. But it's right to include him, I think, right?
Absolutely. No, he's a former first-round pick. And, you know, I was the first one, and I'll admit I was wrong. I mean, I thought the best way to develop him would be in Rochester, which is normally the way Jason Botterill and Randy Sexton go about it. But they decided it would be better for him to be up in Buffalo, and I just couldn't see it. There were a lot of mistakes, and I just couldn't understand why he was up here. But it appears that they were right, that he has started to develop and started to improve his game by being up here with NHL coaches and going over tape with NHL coaches and staying after practice with NHL coaches. And, you know, in this case, it looks like that was a good decision for him. And, you know, as I said, I'll be the first one to admit I was wrong on that one.
Paul, the game before he scored the first goal, if it wasn't his first goal of the season, it was his first notable goal of the season, was in Pittsburgh. It was just a rocket of a shot that he scored on. And I think whatever game preceded that, I think I tweeted in the first period, okay, enough of this. Get him out of here. And then the next time they got on the ice, it was like, oh, wow, you can do that. Okay, well, do that some more, please. And he had a little hot spurt there right within that 10-game streak, and that Pittsburgh game was maybe right in the center of that. And then, you know, he cooled off a little bit along with a lot of their other secondary scoring. But, like, I'm intrigued to see how that all fits together, and maybe more so how the rest of it fits together here. Like, how Reinhardt does with – where is he now? With Sobotka
and Sherry? And Reinhardt and Sherry – Reinhardt set Sherry up at least three times last game for golden opportunities, and he just couldn't score. But it looked like they had a pretty good chemistry. It looked like they were doing well together, and they certainly got some great scoring chances. Sherry just couldn't finish on them.
Yeah, so like I'm digging into that, and you know, Mittelstadt even scored in the game on Tuesday. I mean, I don't know how much of a grain of salt do we want to put on Tuesday. I commend them for scoring five goals like they did. Do you think they took advantage of a team that was like wounded there? Like, how would you want to put an asterisk at all on Tuesday?
Well, that wounded team was 4-2 without Taylor Hall.
Right.
I mean, and they were using a goaltender who was 3-0 against the Sabres all time, and had played over the years. What did they win? 6 in a row, I believe it was, in Buffalo's building. So, and in the first period, you know, Buffalo was playing pretty well, but they looked like they weren't going to break through on a goaltender again. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know what I liked about the whole thing more is 14 different players got on the score sheet in the second period. In one period, 14 different Sabres. That's only the third time in their history that has happened. Only four guys did not get on the score sheet, not including goaltenders. Yep. In the second period, so nobody had 2 points in those five goals. So I thought that was pretty nice. And you brought up Mittelstadt, and what a nifty goal he scored. And again, that just gives you an idea of what he's capable of, you know, when he figures it out.
Yeah, I like your answer here, Paul, because I'm reminded, even as I asked it and you started responding, that the game did get, after Buffalo took the 2-1 lead, I thought New Jersey had their best pocket within the game. They got a power play. Buffalo killed it off. It got a little tight. Like, it looked like New Jersey was taking it over and Buffalo was falling asleep. And then they just, you know, they hit the gas again and found their way to five goals before the period was over. So,
and that's where Hutton came into play. He had one of their defensemen, I can't remember which the name of the guy, right in the slot. And he stopped him twice in a row. And then they wound up taking the penalty. But, you know, he really made some big saves when it could have gotten away from them, you know. And then how does that change the game if the Devils score there? And then Hutton gets the opportunity to play with five goals. That doesn't happen for him very often, where he's sitting there with a 5-1 lead. He's usually down 1-0 or it's 2-1 or something like that. And then, you know, he has to scratch and claw and he has no room for air. So that had to feel pretty good for him to have a little bit of breathing room also.
Danico is the Devils defenseman. Danico is always the Devils defenseman in any situation. So you said it was 14 different players had a point in the second period in the game. Would you know if the game where they scored 9 goals in the second period against the Leafs and won 14-4 would also be one of those games? I don't know if you
the
saw
Sabres
a list.
Yes, I did see the other two times. I do not believe that was the other game,
okay,
but I'm not 100%. And yes, the Sabres did tweet that out. I might be able to find it as we're talking.
Okay. I was at the game, so I know it's true. They scored 9 goals in the period. I'm pretty sure that's still a record. And won 14-4. Paul Hamilton with us, the Sabres and Carolina Hurricanes tomorrow night. So it's Jeff Skinner's return to Carolina. You're there, right?
Yes, yes, we have arrived. It's 39 degrees here. I thought maybe coming to Carolina it might be
hot,
might be a little bit warmer than it actually is here.
So
it's beautiful sunshine, but it's 39 degrees.
So there probably wouldn't yet be any sort of interaction between Skinner and Carolina or the media or anything like that. What do you think this will be like? Like, there are lots of these in hockey, but here's a guy who was a good player for them for many years and is back there for the first time having a killer season for his new team.
Yeah, he is. And you know, you got to feel that he's going to feel like, hey, I wasn't wanted. I mean, the owner wasn't going to pay him. So it's like, all right, we're not paying him. Let's get him out of here. So, you know, yeah, was it circled on his calendar? No, but he knew when the game was. I mean, he knew when it was going to be. He tends to be a guy who looks straight ahead and is really into now. As you know, he said, I got enough things to worry about than worrying about how Carolina's doing or what's going on. He goes, yeah, I look. He goes, quite honestly, I look to see how all the teams are doing in the NHL. I'm just an NHL fan. But he said, I don't sit there and obsess over, you know, what the Hurricanes are doing, even though he's got friends in the room. And he goes, I have friends all over the league, and I look at all of them and see how they're doing. So, you know, he's aware of them. He's aware of, you know, what they're doing. But, you know, he'd like to get to come out of here with 2 points in tomorrow's game.
Well, I'll bet. I mean, you know, there's getting traded, and then there's being traded, and, like, everyone knows something's got to happen, and the organization made a lot of noise about needing to change the culture and all this sort of stuff. It's a little it's not unlike O'Reilly here. He's not been back here yet. The Sabres, of course, played there after Christmas. But it's kind of similar circumstances. So it's a little different than just, well, it was a hockey trade. You know, it was good for both teams, whatever. Like, it feels like Carolina just wanted him off of their team.
And then Brind'Amour did not say very nice things about him when Brind'Amour was asked about it. Like,
right.
You know, we want guys who want to be Carolina. What did he say? Who play like Carolina Hurricanes, and he doesn't, or something like that. I don't
whatever.
Remember exactly
yeah.
what he said, but it was something like that. And, Mike, I did find that. The two other instances where 14 players had a point in a period were November 2nd, 2006 against Tampa and October 21st, 2009 at Florida.
Okay, so no. Tampa game, I'm just going to slip it in just to see if it's right, because I'd be excited if it's right. It's a game where Le Cavalier got thrown out in the first period. Not sure. Yeah, you know, we want players to play like Hurricanes and Bills and these teams. Like, you know, we're averse to goals and touchdowns. We just want them to, you know, represent.
If you score 29 goals in a season, in half a season, you're probably playing like a Saber.
Yes. I mean, if that's not playing like a Saber, change the definition.
You can play like a Satanist if you're going to get 29 goals. I don't really care. Like, wear a pitchfork out there. I don't give a crap.
We want to play Buffalo Bills football. Can you just, does that mean touchdowns one of these years? Please? Does that mean passing someday? All right. So what's next here? Skinner being back there. That's where we were before I.
I don't want to necessarily leave the Sabres for dead here, Paul, but we opened our show today talking about the way Columbus handled the situation with Bobrovsky. And, I mean, I can't remember the last time a team went as far as Columbus goes. Like, there's a reason why you always get the very nondescript violation of team rules. The description that the Blue Jackets offer leaves your imagination to run wild with, like, what must have been happening there that caused this to happen.
It was with players. I mean, they already said, the GM did say it was not with Tortorella, and I read an article before we went on from The Athletic saying that when they got to the tarmac before they got on the plane, players pulled him aside, then team leadership kind of had it out with him right on the tarmac. So, I mean, not a fight or anything like
right,
that.
Right, right, right. But there was,
you know,
an intervention type of thing. Maybe.
They were letting him know whatever is happening here is not good. So I'm wondering if team leadership wanted this to happen.
Well, maybe that's what necessitates or what leads to such a damning sounding release by the team.
That's what I thought of. Like, who knows? But that's the kind of thing that teams don't make room for as often, right? Like, if it's something within between players or player coach, they probably don't want you to know specifics. And what you're saying here, Bulldog, is this is even more than you usually get.
Yeah.
But like, he was pulled from that game. They've been losing. They're out of a playoff spot or close to that at the moment. It's real close. It's a very stressful season probably for Columbus, yeah. Paul, with Panarin and Bobrovsky being free agents, and they really haven't had the big success yet. If they make it, they're probably looking at the Penguins or Capitals again. So, I mean, that's a tough call.
And Tortorella said he pulled him out of there because he wanted them for the next game. He wanted them a little, he goes, it was an opportunity to keep them a little bit fresher because he goes, we got big games coming up. Washington was one of the teams. I don't remember the other. And so he said that's the reason he pulled him out of there.
Yeah,
because he wanted to keep him a little fresher for the next one.
Right. They're in third right now in the Metro, but they're just a point ahead of the Islanders. So they're
and
right
now the Sabres are ahead of them.
Right. They're right in this. They're right in this schmozzle of teams that are going to be either battling for that, you know, that third spot in the division or one of those wild cards. Their point total lends you to think that they'll be a factor in that probably the rest of the year. Unless they blow up, you know, unless they trade these guys away that are about to be UFAs.
Well, let's ask Paul the other question we were talking about there, too, that I think, I mean, Paul, I can remember you from as long as I've known you being harsh against, like, the big free agents, and I think also, like, the big whale trades at the deadline, where you're giving up a lot of young players or whatever it is to get those guys. And I think the league is smarter about that than it used to be. Bulldog mentioned Evander Kane earlier. Like, we were kind of sort of not impressed with how the Sabres did there. And, yeah, I mean, I was. But I also think teams go, what am I really getting out of this? As good as I might think he is, and for how long? And San Jose went out quickly in round two. Like, that wasn't – if they had known that, they wouldn't have made that trade. So I think the league is smarter about that. I think teams with players who are going to free agency will maybe just – or maybe this actually can be shown over recent years, are doing worse in what they get back.
Well, Skinner's, I'm sorry, I believe it's no movement. Don't quote me. I believe it's no movement came with him because he's a pending unrestricted free agent. So trading him, even if you wanted to, would not be easy. And number two, I don't think Botterill wants to. I think he's already decided he's going to be here right to the end. And you know, even if he's not signed, they're going to keep him right up to July 1st and try to sign him.
Right.
We're not worried about.
I'm living under the assumption they're going to figure Skinner out. What Mike was asking you about is what Columbus could do with selling off rentals like Bobrovsky or Panarin,
or just, you know, in general around the league. So Skinner applies, but yeah, I also don't expect him to be moved.
Yeah. No. A guy like Panarin, I think, would fall in and. Is that a good move? Yeah, if you're really going to be right there for the cup, give your Tampa, and you can fit him in somehow, and you're only going to use him to try to win the cup.
Right.
You know, and then that's going to be it. You're not going to be able to keep him. Sure, I'm in. I would do something like that. I agree with what Botterill said on your show just the other day, which I've been some other outlets and I have been reporting for over a month now. He's not doing the rental. I mean, he's just not. That's not the way he feels he needs to rebuild this team. And he acknowledged with you guys, he understands they don't have any depth. Their young players aren't ready for the NHL yet. They're still developing. He gets it. He understands where they're at. But, so I think it just depends on – but I think Panarin would be definitely a candidate if they know for sure that he's not he's not going to be in line to, sign with the Blue Jackets unless they feel they can win a Stanley Cup. And it's not trending that way right now.
Right. When we talked about
really
this,
not a point for them to keep him.
Sorry, when we talked about this earlier, Joe suggested, like, if they think that, maybe they go the other way and they buy a bunch of rentals and just try to load up while they've got Bobrovsky and they've got Panarin, knowing that they're going to lose them for nothing. Let's just go out with a bang and go as big as we can here. I mean, that's awfully risky.
Yes, that is Mike McD walking back into Teddy KGB to play him that last time. But he does win. He does win. Right, Paul?
Yeah, the problem with Bobrovsky is he's never been a playoff player. I have things on my mind.
I know. It's all right, Paul.
Sorry about you.
There was no way you were getting a Rounders reference.
That's okay.
Anyway, there's just no way. I mean, he just blew right by.
Paul probably has 50 movies, if not 500, that I would not be able to name. He could explain to me the scene, the premise, the plot. I would just probably be
I did that to
blank.
The instigators earlier, too. We were looking at lines, and I'm at the end of the arena, so it's really hard for me to see the two lines that are going the other way. And Craig Gervais started talking. I go, guys, why I'm looking here, I can't write these down because I'm talking to you. I got to give you the lines right now. I just totally interrupted him and went in a different direction. So don't feel bad, Mike. I've already done it to somebody else today.
Thank you, and I do not.
No, of course not. No. All right.
Okay, well, tomorrow, Sabres and Hurricanes, we'll talk again tomorrow night.
I will be there.
All right, that's Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline with us, and his appearance brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. A lot of games tonight. There's going to be a lot more scoreboard watching if you're into that kind of thing. Like, everybody around the spot the Sabres are in action here. If you're still tracking Boston, I mean, I don't know.
Yes, definitely do that.
They're at home for Washington. Toronto's on the road at New Jersey. The Islanders are at the Rangers. Columbus is hosting Nashville. Carolina is in Tampa to play the Lightning. And Montreal is in St. Louis. Like, so the whole gang is playing tonight.
Interesting. So, like, if Skinner on his day in Carolina before the game wanted to reacquaint with ex-teammates, he can't because they're not in town.
Right, and they probably won't have a morning skate tomorrow because they'll be traveling back. Not that it's a super long flight, but whatever. They'll be traveling from Tampa back to Carolina. Teams doing that, coming home to play that night, usually don't go to the rink in the morning anymore.
Yeah, definitely. The list for me is Boston, Islanders, Montreal, Carolina, Columbus. Those are the teams. I think that's it.
And Montreal's at St. Louis. We got
action on St. Louis.
Got action on St. Louis, too.
St. Louis is good. They should get that Bobrovsky. They should go do that right now so they have a chance, because they have a good team, I think. They just can't get saves. Go do that. I'm pay me now if they do that. This guy won't get suspended. The Blues will not trade for him and suspend. He'll get away with anything he wants if he's been traded for. Like, oh, this team, they need me. They can't suspend me. That's probably bad. But, yeah, I'm excited about that bet. I usually go to bed thinking about it. It's usually the last thing on my mind when I fall asleep.
All right.
Oh, I've got $20 on the Blues to win, to get to 80 points. What if it's 80? Is that a tie?
No, I think you win at 80.
I do?
Yeah, I think I need 79 or fewer. I think 80 to me is...
80's me?
80's a win.
I like it.
There's no over-under there. It was just 80 points. Will they get to 80 points? No.
Okay.
So I'm in for 79.
An update from Steelers ownership on Antonio Brown. Give you the comments, and we can try to read between the lines. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, we are at 803-0550. Talk to John Clayton later about Brown and other subjects, of course, the playoffs. This is WGR.
I have no comment. The release will speak for itself. I've already told the players there's no sense of talking to them either. This will be handled inside. Yarmo and I will do the speaking on it if any more speaking needs to be done. But the release speaks for itself.
Is there a chance Syracuse played his last game for Columbus?
I will let the press release speak. How can you ask me that question? I mean, I've just told you, Portsy. Man of the people.
Portsy would be Aaron Portsline.
Yeah. Boy, Tortorella there.
Portsy and Portsy.
He's right. He's got a reputation for losing it, to say the least, in those settings. And he's about to go there. And I think it's like me about to have a fit because... I don't know, the washing machine didn't finish the cycle and it's full of water when I go to put the stuff in the dryer. Like, I could punch something right now, but I'm older and I'm calmer now. I'm just going to, okay, take a breath and just reset it. Okay, spin. Okay. I'm just going to wait a little while. It's fine. It'll be all right. The breaker tripped. I'm calm. That's Tortorella there. He's like a stick of dynamite. Really, like, what is it? I just told you. No. Not going to do it.
Well, is it the right question? He says, look, we have a press release. That's what it is. He's reasonable about that. A lot of people do this. That's it. And then the next question is there a chance he'll never play for you again?
Right.
Like, okay, like I could respect the reporter trying to get the information, but I'm kind of on Tortorella's side there. Like, how do you want me to answer that? Yes?
Right.
No. I mean, just really? You could say no, but I just told you that is our statement.
Right.
That's it.
That's it. But he does say Yarmo and I are we're the only ones who will speak on it.
If any more speaking needs to happen.
Right. Okay. So the guy's trying to get some more speaking to happen, I guess.
I would not have had the nerve to ask that, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't have asked. But I don't know. Let's hit on these NFL things. They're all good.
All right.
Hey NFL things. Where are you from? Right in order from Joe's report. Kyler Murray So this is a surprise. Kyler Murray was talking about pitching for the A's, and then he went and won the Heisman Trophy fairly suddenly. I mean, he had a very good season, but it wasn't until their last game before the playoff, before the bowls, that he emerged as the favorite. The Alabama quarterback, who had been the favorite, got hurt, and this guy had a big game. So Murray entering the NFL draft, what does that mean? You do have the story today about the Cardinals,
right?
Who have the first pick,
right? And there's video of their new coach from the fall talking up Murray.
And, I would take him first if I could,
right? And I feel like I get it. And there's I think Adam Schefter reported that there's real substance to that, that they would consider, the Cardinals would consider trading the first pick in the draft.
Trading Josh Rosen,
right.
And using the first
pick on Murray. And using the pick on Murray. And like, oh, okay, wow. I think Kingsbury talking about Murray there is talking up an opponent. Yeah, he's great. I would take him first in the draft. They're in the conference. I don't know if that's from October, I think you mm-hmm. told me, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the timing is of when Texas Tech and Oklahoma played this year, assuming that they played this year. But it would make sense if that's like Bill Belichick talking up how good Josh Reed is. to an extent. I think you just go farther when you're trying to compliment the opponent. So, I don't know. The part of it that's interesting here to me, Murray declaring for the draft is interesting, certainly on its own. The Arizona piece is really pretty juicy. I'm inclined to just go, I doubt that Cliff Kingsbury is really going to, we got to do this.
Even if he has the power.
Right.
The GM that picked Rosen is still there.
Right.
So I'll say that there's no way they do that, and now we'll turn to Antonio Brown, and I said there's no way they trade Antonio Brown, and now you have the owner today saying it's hard to envision Brown being with the Steelers in training camp.
And in the last few minutes, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is now reporting that Antonio Brown has been refusing to return repeated phone calls from both owner Art Rooney and head coach Mike Tomlin.
That leads to Art Rooney saying it's difficult to imagine him being here.
Andrew Filippone thinks he's gone. A lot of people are saying that today after these comments. How does the owner talk like that and then fix it? So it does seem pretty strong. And the money makes you wonder if a trade would have to wait until after June 1.
I wouldn't think they would want to have $21 million all at once. I mean, it's tough for a team that's trying to contend anyway to have that much dead money. They've got Roethlisberger for however long. You'd think you'd want to not burn money on a receiver that's not on your team. And that's probably around, so it's $21 million. It's $21 million spread over 2 years if you wait until June 1st. That's tough for them, I would think. I mean, but I don't know, drastic situation, I guess.
Fantasy-wise, Joe, I made an offer for Brown in a dynasty league that I then pulled back because of all this. He's probably somewhere else now, but who knows where? Not here. No chance the Bills would trade stuff for Antonio Brown, right?
No.
almost no chance. I guess for Brown, it depends on where he goes, but he's still great.
Yep. I'm wrong about this stuff a lot. It's the owner saying it's hard to imagine him being here. So I get it. Bell's leaving. Brown's going. They don't miss Bell. Okay. I think you miss Antonio Brown. And the dead money makes it harder to fill that hole. I don't know. I just think there's got to be some. I recognize he's not returning calls, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I just got to think there's a come to Jesus meeting somewhere here in the winter or early spring, and cooler heads prevail, and Antonio Brown keeps catching touchdowns from Ben Roethlisberger. That I think I want odds, but that's where I want to bet. He stays.
Maybe. I mean, that does happen. I don't know what to think. I have Roethlisberger in places, Joe, and That's less exciting than it was a month ago.
I really think the person it would affect most, fantasy at least, and really real NFL, would be Juju. He would become their number one target, number one receiver, and like he's good.
He's very good. In games when Brown didn't play, he was really not much more productive. Like
right.
There's not yet. I mean, it's not much of a career yet, but there's not much of a correlation there, like Brown in, Brown out. Might have even been less productive with Brown out.
He already caught 100 passes. Like, what's he going to catch? 150 if Antonio Brown's not there? Like, he caught a pile of balls.
Do you like Smith-Schuster more now than a week ago or 2 weeks ago? I guess so.
Yeah. It might not be drastic, but I would say yeah. That's the team, too. Like, they always just figure it out with receiver. They just develop guys. They had Mike Wallace and then Emmanuel Sanders, and then they had Brown. And like they just kind of churn guys in and out, and it seems like they get production.
They had a guy in the summer that didn't do much during the season. Washington, is that the
James
guy?
James Washington,
second pick.
Yeah, he's there. Roethlisberger smacked him around. Like, he tends to smack all these guys around and then seem to get through it unscathed. Yeah, there's lots of those receivers, aren't there, over the years, including two who were Super Bowl MVPs that we didn't mention.
It's Antonio Holmes and Hines Ward.
Was Hines Ward the MVP of that game?
I believe so.
He's not one of my helmets, so I don't know. Yeah, all right. Adam Gase.
Thoughts and prayers, Jets. I mean, I don't know. Good luck. Doesn't have to. If he's got a better quarterback, like you like Tannehill more than I do, I don't hate him. Is Darnold that much better? Like, can that work? You know, maybe. But, like, Gase, how did he get a head coaching job in the first place? Like, the
Manning.
Right. Like, so that's the feather in your cap that you were good when Peyton Manning was your quarterback?
Good point.
Like, oh, okay, I guess you're good at this?
You know how good this guy is? He made Peyton Manning great.
Right. And even then, like, he was gone by the time Manning fell off a cliff, right? Or was he still there? I can't remember the timing of his departure. But, like, you know, Manning's health failed and he couldn't really throw anymore, and they won despite that. I don't know. I think this guy is maybe someone who rose up on the heels of being coupled, fortunately, with a all-time incredible quarterback and maybe isn't that good at this.
I want to guess at that. I think the year Miami's in the playoffs with Gase, they lose to the Steelers, and the Steelers go to Denver and lose to Manning.
Okay.
And then Manning beats New England and Carolina.
So he leaves after they win the Super Bowl. Or no, they lose the Super Bowl, but they have a great year. Manning's great. And then the next year is the, yeah, okay.
I've got Gase being in Chicago as their offensive coordinator for Manning's last year here.
Okay, well, maybe it was before that then, but he's Miami's coach. Okay, whatever, whatever. He's the Jets coach. Why do I even need to, like, do you think one of those games was the game the Sabres scored 9 goals in the second? what do I get for being right? Whatever. Why do I need to say it?
It's right that his biggest claim to fame is working with Manning. That's it. And so, okay, good luck.
He's weird with the media. And that'll be a big thing with the Jets. Like, Bowles almost never stepped in it. You know? Like, he was never really a big story with his comments. Mm-hmm. This guy's more like Tortorella. he will... Why are you asking me that?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing from Adam Gase. So that'll be interesting. That'll be kind of fun. All right. We'll have more football, of course. John Clayton joins us in 15 minutes. 803-0550 for us. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR. I'll consider it.
Look at Sneaky Joe.
I'll consider it.
I'm working another candidate for song draft into the program. Time for me to get you today's deal of the day. It's an opportunity for you to pamper your pets at the SPCA Petique and get double the squeaky toys, fashion items, training supplies, and more when you buy a $30 gift card for just $15. Double your dollars, only from My Buffalo Perks. Details at mybuffaloperks.com.
Same as before. Zeppelin? You want a Zeppelin song in the song draft? This is the song, but no. Like, this is the song, but...
Yeah. I'm just not...
Not for me.
There are a couple of songs that, to me, are... this is not to imply at all that Zeppelin and or Lynyrd Skynyrd have character issues, but they're, like, Freebird and this jam are just not going to be on my board. I can't possibly ever hear them again and not just be like... Ugh. I'm just worn out. I'm sorry. I'm just... worn out.
I listen to Led Zeppelin a lot. That doesn't mean if Tom were here, like Tom would just already have punched me because that would sound to him like I'm saying I love them and he hated that one time. So I won't say that. I'm still scarred by that. But 10 Years Gone is my favorite Zeppelin song at this time. Changes, you know? Song draft, January 25th, 2024. That's no, 2019.
That's out there. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Song draft. Yep, all songs. Brian Mazurowski, earlier listening to our conversation, WBEN, said, because I asked, you think there's any song that is better than 50-50 to get chosen? I mean, it's so vast. And he answered that question. He said, no, there's no song that would be likely to be picked. And I tweeted a video of Kate Smith singing God Bless America at the Spectrum. And I liked his response. It was, is this what you have to choose after someone else takes Whitney Houston's Star-Spangled Banner?
Right.
And that's a great matchup, yep. Those two.
Yep.
Like, you can take the national anthem, but you want to take Whitney Houston's national anthem or some other amazing rendition of the national anthem.
Yeah.
Right. I'm way more God Bless America than the national anthem.
Though. Carl Lewis's version of the national
Carl
anthem.
Carl Lewis. For... Right.
Uh-oh!
Yes. If you can stick people in the song draft somehow, like you pick a card and you can pick a song for them, I might pick that for you.
Right.
Found a website today, fantasyfootballatsea.com.
Yeah, this really happened.
There's a company that offers a cruise where fantasy experts are available to be consulted, and there are like forums. Andre Reed is on the boat. This is not an ad, but I just was like obsessed with that idea. I love the idea of a cruise. I've only been on one, and fantasy football, but can you imagine that crew? Can you imagine like the people at the bar on the fantasy football cruise? I don't even know. Like I want it. It's a problem I have. Like I don't want to, what was Woody Allen's line? I don't want to be a member of any group that would have me,
right,
paraphrasing.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
But what a great, I wish I'd thought of it.
Well, I mean, you'd have to buy a boat.
I know, but I would buy a boat. If I'd thought of this, I would buy a boat. I would buy a cruise ship.
Those are ships, yeah. No,
and boats. Then have a fantasy football. The drafts would sprout up like orgies at the Playboy Mansion. There'd just be like, who's available at 9? Over here. We need a 12th guy. Come on. Is it PPR? It would just be like that for a week. I love that.
Yeah, right.
And Andre Reed's there, you know.
Meanwhile,
sitting at the bar.
I'm over the rail before we even get out of port. Just like,
get me out of here.
Is there a shark out there for me? Please just come end this.
Think of the wives. Think of the wives. Like, is there a, just, the wives are just off, you know, over there.
No, honey.
Staying away.
It won't be the whole time.
Right.
It's not going to be, no. It's a cruise. It'll be like a cruise, you know, like normal. Yeah, no.
There's a rock climbing mountain.
We'll go on jet ski excursions and stuff. You should come. We should do this.
Or there's a draft for the wives. Just for the wives. Yeah. Or they're drafting other things. I don't know.
It won't be every minute of every day.
No. Meanwhile, you're eating your eggs Benedict and you're pouring over like depth charts of running backs.
Yeah.
God.
Joe had it. Like, I thought, my wife is never going on this. Joe and I could go on this. And I thought, you heard me earlier, like, we're just sitting like in the pool in our bathing suits. Our legs are in the water, and you know, just both kind of are like our magazines. And then Joe jumps in with, and you're asking me about Jerick McKinnon.
Right?
I love that. That's a great poll for them.
And you're somewhere between Cuba and the Bahamas.
Right. Right? In the middle of the ocean.
What are we doing out here?
Hey, there's Andre Reed. I want to be on. I'll go for free. I know that. I definitely. If they needed another celebrity.
Well,
who's on this ship? Andre Reed and Mike Schopp?
He's a fantasy guy.
He's seeking fantasy relevance. He's this is his this it's border he, we're not sure. Yeah.
I want you to go.
I want to go too. I don't know who goes with me, though.
Mostly's all have Joe. A week free of talking about fantasy football.
In the middle of August. That's prime. Those are prime. Those are critical days.
Go on your way. It's a week I don't have to listen to this.
John Clayton next. Stay tuned.